was Rabbeinu told us the importance of not being old. It's not good to be old. Okay, but we've been breaking up Sicha Nun Aleph into smaller pieces because it superficially has a lot of different topics. Okay, so we're up to this is our fifth installment of Os Nun Aleph. Just a couple of lines from Rabbeinu. We'll try to learn it somewhat in depth. Rabbi Nachman said, "Gam hefkeros ein tzrichim." You don't need hefkeros. You don't need hefkeros, Aaron. You don't need hefkeros. What's hefkeros? You don't need hefkeros. Gam hefkeros ein tzrichim. What does it mean? You don't need hefkeros. What kind of hefkeros could? I mean, hefker means something is ownerless, right? Abandonment. Maybe hefkeros in this context means some type of just disregard for something, or maybe to be involved in something in an extreme way to the expense of something else. Now, let's translate hefkeros in this context as extremism, fanaticism. It's interesting. Rabbi Nachman in his younger years, if you could say such a thing about a tzaddik who only lived a very short life, but in his youngest years, Rabbi Nachman writes in many places that he was more extreme, and then he became a little bit more balanced. Again, in the world of Rabbeinu, being more balanced may still be pretty intense, right? But when you read about certain hanhagos, certain practices he had as a kid, it was that much more intense. For example, in one place he talks about how when he would eat, in order to deny himself the pleasure of the food, he would swallow things with basically not chewing very much. Because when you chew it, you extract the flavor, and he didn't want to get the pleasure of the flavor. So he would eat with swallowing things, you know, kamat whole, to the point that he actually damaged his throat in that way. He physically injured himself in that way. And later in life, he spoke about, as some of us have seen in his writings and in the Sefer as well, how Rabbi Nachman speaks against chumras. Don't define your Yiddishkeit by just doing extreme things. Having certain chumras that don't fit in to the bigger picture of your life. Rav Shlomo Volbe, the author of the Alei Shor, heard of Rav Volbe, the great Mashkiach, Rav Volbe Zatzal. Alei Shor is his most famous work. Right? There's Rav Volbe, the bottom right-hand corner in that picture. Learned his Torahs on Tshuva a couple years ago. So Rav Volbe has a sefer called Mitzvos Hashkulos. Mitzvos Hashkulos means the mitzvos that are compared to all the other mitzvos of the Torah. So like Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. Tzitzis, Keneged Kulam. We have a whole list of mitzvos that are Keneged Kulam, that are mitzvos that are equal to the entirety of the Torah. Whatever that means, that's what the Sefer is about. What does that mean? Eretz Yisrael, Keneged Kulam, so if I live in Eretz Yisrael, so now I don't have to do anything else. So one of the places he writes about Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah is also, in a negative, all-encompassing way, is an all-encompassing thing. And he explains, very interestingly, what is Avodah Zarah? What makes Avodah Zarah Avodah Zarah? So sometimes you have to just translate it literally. He says, the Gemara tells us in Meseches Avodah Zarah that Avram Avinu's Meseches Avodah Zarah had 400 prakim. Whenever Chazal used the number 400, it's just an exaggerated number to say, like, tons of. Avram was facing tons of Avodah Zarah. What does it mean, tons of Avodah Zarah? And what is the Avodah Zarah today when we don't have idols that people are worshipping, for the most part? There are still some places in the far-off corners of the world where people still actually worship idols. But the taiva for Avodah Zarah was defeated. But what is Avodah Zarah? Right? Avodah Zarah means what? Foreign worship. Doing things in a way that's not what Hashem wants for you. That's also Avodah Zarah. That's what Rav Volbe writes about. Quotes a piece from the Chovos HaLevavos. Rav Volbe says, Avodah Zarah means, Avodah, which is Zarah, means taking any rung from the ladder of the 613 mitzvos and all of its branches and emphasizing that as a value in and of itself. It could be a misplaced focus on a particular mitzvah to the exclusion of others. Like I'm crazy about learning Torah and I'm a jerk when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chavero. Could be that. It could also be a person who takes a Torah value and values it without valuing it through means of Torah or connection to Hashem. So being healthy. Is being healthy a Torah value? It is if you see that as part of your connection to Hashem. Or it's going to the gym to look like a Greek. So it really depends on what kavana is, right? And that's what it means. If it becomes zar, if it becomes far into your connection to Yiddishkeit and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then not only is it not a mitzvah, but it's seen as avodah zarah. It becomes far in worship. So Rav Nachman says, Gam hefkeiros ein tzrichim. We don't need fanaticism, extremism. A person needs to be a balanced person. You see, when a person, and again, it's well intended. I'm not making fun, God forbid, to make fun. But when a person flips out really hardcore and like decides overnight to become the Gadol Hador, or at least by their own perception, right, that's not healthy. And 99.9% of the times, it doesn't last. If your growth is not going to be balanced, it's not going to work. It's better to come to Shir every day with regularity and find the amount of time that works for you than to miss a week and then to learn for 24 hours straight. That's not a healthy way to live your life. So Rav Nachman says, don't be hefker, right? Don't be chaotic. Don't be extreme. Don't be a fanatic. Afal pisha be'emes etzli ein nikra hefkeros klal. Now look what he writes here. Even though, in my opinion, being extremely Jewish is not called fanaticism. I mean, if you're going to be crazy about something, you might as well be crazy about Torah. There's something holy to that, even if it's not always expressed in the healthiest way. Adarabba, says Rav Nachman, lehefech, kisherodif acher iske olam hazeh, v'rochuk me'avodas yizbarach, zeu mufkar be'emes. When a person gets caught up in the world and is chasing things of this world, that's fanaticism. Right? Sometimes people look at religious people, oh my gosh, these religious fanatics, these ultra-Orthodox Jews. So Rav Nachman says, that's what's called ultra, that's called extreme. What about a guy who dedicates his whole life, like we learned a couple of times ago, what about a guy who dedicates his whole life to money? Is that not extreme? Is that not fanaticism? You know, you wave your finger at the ultra-Orthodox Jews all you want. Rabbi Nachman says, people who get caught up running after this world, that's be'emes hefker. That's crazy. That's a sense of being hefker with your life, of not even knowing what's what. That's real hefker. But Rabbi Nachman says, afal pichein, I'm talking in a religious realm also, being hefker is not good. Ach afal pichein, afilu mashenikra etza la'olam hefkeris, what the world calls hefker, right? Oh, how do these Haredi Jews live like that? How do they allow themselves to live like that? It's hefker. Their life is hefkeros. So what the world calls hefker, says Rabbi Nachman, dahainu, mishamafker kol iske olam hazeh, mikol v'kol, v'oseg rak b'avodas Hashem. The person who enters a Rishon Bar Yochai's cave and says, I'm not coming out. I don't want anything to do with the pleasures of this world. I'm mafker all of olam hazeh. I'm extreme in my avodas Hashem to the exclusion of everything else. Rabbi Nachman says, that's what the world calls hefker. Right? These Jews, they don't take care of their physical needs enough, and they're not engaged in the world enough. And so all the things the world criticizes a person who's too frum for living a life of hefkeris, right? He's an extremist, or he's not in tune with reality. What the world calls hefkeris, Rabbi Nachman says, even though, in my opinion, that's much less hefker than the guy who sits in his law office till midnight every night. That's much more hefker, says Rabbi Nachman. However, gamze ein tzrichim. But being too wild in your Yiddishkeit is also not a good thing. It's not necessary. Hashem doesn't need you to be an extremist. Hashem needs you to be a healthy, growing, balanced, connected Jew. Ki yacholim liyos ish kosher b'li hefkeres. Because Rabbi Nachman says, you can be a very fine Erlich Yid, and if you've learned the Sefer from the beginning, which some of us have and some of us haven't. There was a famous piece where Rabbi Nachman talks about the chashivas of being called an Erlich Yid, the chashivas of just being a Pashut Yid, and how that's one of the greatest compliments you can give a person, to be an Ish Kasher, to just be a good Jew. So if you think the only way to be a good Jew is to be more extreme and take on more chumras and to have more restrictions in your community, to be firmer than the community, that's one community over, if that's how you think you're going to become a kosher yid, an erlich yid, a good Jew, and make God proud, Rabbi Nachman says it's not necessary. can be healthy, you could be balanced, you could be normal, you could be growing, and you could be a very fine, good Jew. You don't have to be holier than thou. You don't have to take on every chumrah that you don't even understand just to feel good about yourself. That look how frum I am. It's a form of hefkeris, Rabbi Nachman says. It's a form of extremism and fanaticism, which is outside the scope of how Hashem wants us to live our lives. Yes. And the
how we regularly use after like ownerless
abandonment, something that's not properly watched over, right? When you make something hefker, you're saying I'm just going to let it be, as opposed to analyzing and saying, whoa, how does this, you know, where's the responsibility for this item? Who's taking responsibility for this thing? So if I decide I'm just going to learn Torah all day and not take responsibility to make money and to pay my bills, and to shower, and to eat, and to sleep, right? And to, I don't know, be concerned with the needs of the world. So that's a form of abandonment. It's hefker. Right? You're living a life of just of irresponsible, uncontrolled. You know, again, all wrapped up in holy garments, so to speak, in holy trappings. Right? But Rabbi Nachman says it's not necessary. In tzrichim, you don't need it. You don't need to be extreme in order to be an authentic Jew. There's a sefer that came out about 8 or 9 years ago called Sefer Deya Es Hashem, put out by Feldheim. Interesting book of just different ma'amarim and really an unusual collection of topics. I picked it up in the Sfarim store when it came out. There was one article in particular that was very interesting to me. I don't know anything about the author of Avraham Yeshayahu Trupp, but I saw one great line in there that I want to share with you. He writes in source number 2 in a mimer called Darcha Shel Torah. If you remember, we learned at the beginning of the year, what's the source for all of Bava Kama? Right, where does the Torah, where's the source? Where's the scriptural source that puts Bava Kama into motion? So the Rosh wrote in the Tshuva, Derachei Adarchei Noam. Why do I have to pay when I damage someone else? Because the Torah's ways are pleasant. The Torah's ways are normal. The Torah wants us to be normal. So he writes here in the Sefer Deyas Hashem on page 104, Derech HaTorah Derech Yafahi. The way of Torah is very beautiful. It's very pleasant. Derechei Adarchei Noam v'chol nisivaseh shalom. What's the pasuk in Mishlei? Derechei Adarchei Noam v'chol nisivaseh shalom. All of its ways are beautiful and sweet and balanced. The Torah, if studied properly, trains a person with adinos. What does it mean to be adin? Gentle, delicate, refined, right? Sensitive. Not harsh. The Torah doesn't make a person harsh. Real tzaddikim are not harsh people. They're kind, they're gentle, they're thoughtful, they're patient, they're understanding. They don't define themselves by extreme views. Yosher v'tov lev, a certain straightness and a goodness of the heart. And he writes, Pam nishalti al yedei bachur mischazkim. He says, one time I was asked by a group of b'nei yeshiva who were what? Mischazkim. How would you translate mischazkim? They were, what? They were fired up, right? The Shonabek guys, at like their worst, yeah? From an objective standpoint, of course. Yeah, the Shonavat guys at their worst. You know, when they're like totally in holier-than-thou mode, to the point that they're not even sure, like, I don't know, maybe it's time to switch out of my yeshiva and go to like a real yeshiva, not some post-mono-orthodox high school, Shana Aleph yeshiva, right? The guy's been learning for like 3 months, and he's mitchazek, he's very strong. So one time, a group of very strong bachrim, outspoken bachrim, fired-up bachrim, came to me. And they asked me the following question. Rebbe, Hayim tzarech ha'adam liyos kitzoni b'kiyum ha'Torah? Should a person be extreme about fulfilling the Torah? Oh no, or is that not appropriate? Tshuvasi ha'isa b'nusach zeh. So I said the following nusach. It's a gvaldik nusach. Look what he said. Bevadai shetzarech liyos kitzoni b'kiyum ha'Torah. Absolutely. A person needs to be very extreme in fulfilling the Torah. Hasha'elihi rak, ma ha-Torah omeres. But the question is, what does the Torah say? Torah says, be extreme about derecha darcheinam. You should take that very seriously. You should be extremely normal. You should be extremely balanced. You should be extremely healthy in your religious aspirations. Yeah, you should be extreme. You should be extreme about being an extremely healthy, appropriate Jew. Oh, you were asking, should I just be extreme in an unhealthy way? No, the Torah does not encourage extreme, unhealthy, fanatical behavior. So find out what the Torah says. Find out the way that a person is supposed to live. Don't take something out of context. Blow it up, Gilu, that's the whole Torah. He writes in the last line, Hasha'ila hirak, where it's bolded, Ma kosuvba, what's written in the Torah? Ma kosuvba kula, what does the entirety of the Torah say? Not what is the one mitzvah that I'm all fired up about right now to the exclusion of everything else. B'chol chalakeh, look at all the chalakim of Torah, all the components of Torah. V'lo rak ba'achas mipinoseh, not just to look at one corner of Torah and to blow it out of proportion, that's called avodah zarah. That's what Revolvi was writing about. Yeah.
Like for instance, like for an example, like in our communities, like that we live in today, like when like that one kid comes back from like Shanabed and like he's doing certain things now that he himself, even some people on his level, which isn't even such a high level, wouldn't call it extreme. Like for instance, like I was listening to someone yesterday, someone was like, when you're at that person's house, like they don't do Shalosh Shodas, but you want to ask them.
Right, so that's not extreme. Like, that's what the Torah says. So that's an example of being extreme about what the Torah says. Right? Meaning we have to distinguish between what's the halacha. Again, if people are ignorant and they think everything you do is fanatical, so okay, that's not, you know, that's like the world hating, you know, calling anyone that has a Jewish value an ultra-Orthodox fanatic. It's not fanaticism. Just because you don't understand what I'm doing, it doesn't make everything fanatical. Right? But we're talking about within the realm of Torah, within what the Torah asks of us, there's a way to have that Shalosh Shodas in a way that's what? Derecha Darcheinam. There's a way to do it because I'm holier than thou. And I want to remind you how ignorant, how stupid you are, and how clueless you are about what the Torah says. So there's a way. There's a body language. And there's a way of expressing oneself. And there's a way of doing it. And there's a way of talking about it. There's a way of engaging other people in it. Okay, so I think it's a gewaldic nusach. A person needs to be extreme about keeping the Torah, but you got to know what the Torah says. It can't be your own version of the Torah. That's not what Hashem wants from us. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. That's hefkeres. That's dishonest. That's not looking at the big picture. Let's learn a little Rambam together. Just some simple halachos in the Rambam. I'm sure some of us have learned it before, and I'm sure some of us have not. And even those of us who've learned it before, let's learn it in a fresh way, and let's try to really think about what the Rambam is telling us of how to live our lives. The Rambam, of course, appears in Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam goes through, it's the section of the Rambam that reads most like a Musar book, in terms of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. And he goes through, he explains how people think, how people act, how people should act. And the Rambam describes the following. What is the Derech Hashem? He calls it the Derech Hashem. He calls it the Derech Hashem because if you look in like the fourth paragraph of source number 3, you see where it says Halacha Hay, where it's indented, about halfway down? You see Halacha Hay? You guys see it on the page? About halfway down? Beginning of the line, it says Halacha Hay, slightly indented. The Rambam says, everything that I'm about to describe to you is rooted in what? What pasuk does he quote where it's bolded? Mitzuvin anu leches bedrachim e'ilu. You're commanded to walk in the ways that we're about to learn, about to describe. Right? This is part of being like God, walking in His ways. Hashem is a very, very honest, balanced, you know, the words don't do justice to describing God, right? But Hashem certainly has a healthy way of dealing with things. As opposed to take, let's say, you know, certain understandings of like Greek mythology where the gods are, now, I know what you're going to say back, and we have to understand that properly, right? But the Greek gods are you know, they have taivas, and they're vengeful, and they're angry, and they're, you know, they take revenge. Right? So you'll say, well, what do you mean? The Torah also says God gets angry sometimes. And the Torah says that God is a God of jealousy. Okay, so we have to understand those terms and why Hashem chose to write it in those terms, right? But of course, we believe that be'etzem, just like it says God has a finger and a body, Hashem doesn't have a finger and doesn't have a body. Hashem doesn't have an etzva. Hashem doesn't have eyes, even though the Torah describes the eyes of God. So obviously when it describes Hashem getting angry in Hashem, we have to understand it somewhat metaphorically, what that means, that Hashem gets angry. But it's certainly not the way of God has bad midos, like some of the, you know, Greek mythological gods. Okay? So therefore, if Hashem is a balanced, again, individual, so v'halachta b'drachav, walking in God's ways, means we have to be the same. Hashem is able to run the world in a very beautiful way, in a very balanced way. Hashem keeps score. Again, we don't always understand the score and how Hashem runs the world. But we believe that Hashem knows what He's doing. And Hashem has a way of making sure that everything works out even and just and appropriate. So we also have to be even and just and appropriate in our practices. Says the Rambam, starting from the beginning of source number 3. This is the very beginning of Hilchos Deos. Deos harbe yesh l'kol echad ve'echad mibnei adam. People have many different deos, many different ways of thinking. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that no two people look alike. No two people physically look exactly alike. Even identical twins don't look exactly alike. They look very similar. They're not the same. No two people sound alike. No two voices sound exactly the same. Interesting thing. You close your eyes, you can hear someone's voice and know who they are. And lastly, no two people think alike. The Gemara says no two people think exactly alike. Which means even the person you think, you know, you agree with on any given topic, there's always a fine, nuanced distinction between your understanding and your chavrus's understanding. Or your understanding and your roommate's understanding. Your understanding and your wife's understanding. Even if you generally agree on that topic, there will always be a line where what? Where the minds separate. Because no two people think exactly alike. That's part of the unique stamp that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed upon your soul. So says the Rambam, Deos harbe yesh l'chol echad ve'echad mibnei adam. There are so many different ways that people think. V'zo mishun v'zo v'rechok mimenu bi'oser. And it's so distant, this one from that one. He goes on and he gives examples. I'm not going to read them all inside. But the Rambam says, you could have a person who's always angry. You could have a person who's always calm, relaxed, never loses his temper. You could have a person who's very haughty and a person who's always very humble. You could have a person who chases after taivas. You could have a person who's just, he's not a baal taiva. You could have a person who gives away all his money. And you could have a person who what? Who's unbelievably cheap and won't give up a penny. The Rambam continues in Halacha Gimel where it's bolded. Shtei kitzvos harachoko zomizo. These two kitzvos, these two ends, these two extremes. Shebechol deya v'deya. Right? Meaning every midah, every character trait, every way of thinking has an extreme on both ends. When it comes to money, I could be extremely cheap. I could be extremely spendthrift. I could give away a lot of money. Right? And the Rambam says either extreme is bad. Giving all your money to tzedakah is not good. Giving none of your money to tzedakah is also not good. The extreme, says the Rambam, the two extremes of each of these deos, einan derech tova. Ve'ein roi lo la'adam u'leches v'hen. That's not the path that a person should walk in. V'lo la'lamdan la'atzo. Not to try to train yourself in that way of thinking. The opposite. Train yourself to move away from that way of thinking. Ve'im matza tivo nota la'achas v'hen. If a person is inclined, says the Rambam, slightly in one direction, if you've already acquired a certain hanhaga, that's how you act, you've gotten used to acting a certain way, says the Rambam where it's bolded, yachser atzmo lemutov, pull back towards the middle, v'yelech b'derech hatovim, v'hi haderech hayishara. That's the proper path, says the Rambam, get back in the middle. The middle is the proper path. Says the Rambam in his very famous words, Halacha Dalid, Haderech HaYishara Hi Mida Beinonis. The proper path is the middle path. Shebechol Dei V'Dei Mikol HaDeos Sheyesh Lo La'adam. You have to think about yourself once in a while to figure this out, right? Am I too extreme in either direction? Do I think too much of myself or do I think too little of myself? Am I not giving enough tzedakah? Or am I trying to be so righteous that I'm giving too much tzedakah and it's not appropriate in terms of allocating my funds? Am I too forgiving of people who wrong me? Or am I too quickly to get angry? I have to find that middle path. The Rambam says, and that is the midah, this middle path that we're trying to walk, says the Rambam. This is the path that's equidistant from the two extremes. Richuk shava ve'ina krova lo lezo v'lo lezo. To try to get yourself smack in the middle. To try to calculate your ways and to always end up somewhere right in the middle. Says the Ram at the end of Halacha Dalet, Ram says, v'derech zo hi derech ha-chachamim. This is the way of the chachamim. Kol adam shede'os of deos beinonios mumutzos nikra chacham. And anyone who's a balanced person, anyone who's able to walk the shvil hazav, the middle path, so to speak, a person's able to get himself somewhere in the middle in the appropriate way, that is a person who's a chacham. And more than that, says the Ram at the bottom of page 1, in Halacha Zayin, after describing how we need to train ourselves in the right way, the Rambam says where it's bolded, 3 lines from the bottom of the first side of the page, V'heim ha-derech ha-beinonis, shanu chayavin le-lechezba. Again, you have to constantly work to get more towards the middle. And that path, nikris derech zu, derech Hashem. This path is called the path of God. The path of Hashem, derechei ha-darchinam, v'chon ha-sivosei ha-shalom. Don't fall off the road in either direction. Walk the middle path, that is the path of Hashem. For who shall lamed Avram Avinu Lebanov? And this is the path that Avram taught his children, and Hashem gave him kavod for it. Ki yadativ laman asher yitzav v'gomer. Hashem says, why do I love Avram? Because he teaches his children to be what? To be proper God-fearing individuals. V'aholich b'derech zo mevi tova ubracha la'atzmo. When a person walks this path, he brings all sorts of good things upon himself. As the Pasuk says, Laman Havi Hashem al Avram Eis Asher Diber Elav. Because Avram was a good educator and taught his children a proper balanced path. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed much bracha upon Avram. Okay, turn to side 2 of the page. It's very important to be normal. It's very important to be normal. My role models are tzaddikim, and they're also normal. They're not extreme people. That doesn't mean that they're not on high levels of Kedusha, right? Yeah?
So,
Avram
obviously a lot of people...
Okay, let's go on, because it's getting a little late, but I appreciate everyone's comments and questions. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos in the third parak, Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Im ein Torah, ein derech eretz. Im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. Im ein chachma, ein yira. Im ein yira, ein chachma. Im ein bina, ein das. Im ein das, ein bina. What is das? What is bina? What is bina? What is das? And why are they dependent upon each other? Without bina, without understanding, there can be no das. And without das, there could be no bina. Again, these are different degrees of understanding. So let me tell you how we typically understand chachma, bina, das. Chabad. Chachma, bina, das. Okay? And then we're gonna roll back the clock about 500 years, and then some, to see how the Maharal presents bina versus das. Which is higher, which is deeper, which is more developed, bina or das. So again, if you were to just come over to me and say, I was reading a sefer and it keeps mentioning chachma bina das. What does that mean? This is what I would tell you. I would tell you that chachma is the beginning of an idea. It's the spark of an idea. The way the Baal HaTanya explains that the letters chachma is koach ma. Koach ma, koach means the potential or the energy of ma, of something. It's not developed. It's not clear what it is. It's when the light bulb goes off in your head and you think you have an idea, you're just not even sure how to put it into words at all. Right? You're working on a project, a team project for class, and all of a sudden one of the people in the group says, I have an idea. What is it? Hold on, I need to think about it. Well, do you have it or do you not have it? What do you have? That's called chachma. Chachma means that first spark of an idea. It's totally undeveloped. It doesn't look anything like the finished product. Again, in the creation of a child, it's the drop of zera from the husband before the egg has even been fertilized, and certainly there's no baby. You can look at that drop of zera and see the baby with a beating heart and lungs and eyes and fingers and toenails. Okay, bina is the ability to expand the idea outward. So bina already, again, let's say I'm making a chair. Okay? So I have this new idea for a chair, this really cool design for a chair. Okay, so chachma, I have this idea, the spark of an idea. Well, it's going to be the greatest chair ever. Everyone's going to buy this chair. What does it look like? I don't know. Chachma, koachma. There's a potential for something. I have it. I just can't explain it yet. Bina already means I can formulate the ideas. As we said many times over Hanukkah, Rashi and Tetzaveh, Parshas Tetzaveh says Bina is to be maven davar mitoch davar, to infer something from something else, to start to understand how is the back of the chair going to impact the seat of the chair, is going to impact the legs of the chair. Maybe I can start drawing a sketch of the chair, a blueprint of the chair. Can't sit on it yet. Doesn't exist in that sense. But it has dimensions. It has a design. I can picture it. I can describe it. I can share it with you. As opposed to it just being this raw potential which can't even be formulated. Bina is the expansion of that idea. Das typically means the completion of the idea, the solidification of the idea. Das is mamish it. Das means it's complete. Now it is. So chachma is the beginning of the idea, bina is the process of expanding that idea, and das is bringing that thing to reality. Okay, that's typically how we explain, in a very oversimplified fashion, chachma, bina, das. Yes?
Das would be the chair itself.
Das would be the chair, yeah. Das means now there's a chair. This was my idea, and you can touch it, you can sit on it, you can feel it, you can buy it. It's available on Amazon for whatever the price is. You can have it delivered by flying drone to your doorstep in the next 45 minutes if you act now. Okay? So that's Das. So it says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Bina and Das are dependent upon each other. Ein Bina, Ein Das, and Ein Das, Ein Bina. What does that mean? Says the Maharal of Prague in his magnificent commentary on Pirkei Avos called Derech Chaim, Baharav Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Sheshet, Zichrono Levracha. He quotes from the Rivash. He wrote in one of his tshuvos, what is Das, what is Bina? Ki perish Das Hamuskeles Harishonus. Says the Rivash, Das is what is the Muskel Rishon, is the first understanding of things. Very opposite of what I just told you. Das is the beginning of grasping the ideas. The muskel rishon. It's the most basic, big picture understanding of the ideas. Kamo sheha kol gadol min hachelek. Like the expression that the sum of a whole is greater than its parts. Right? Das is sort of just like the big picture. Again, without the details, without an understanding. And in a certain sense, that is greater than the parts. Right? What's on a higher level, that idea of the chair or like a single piece of the chair? The idea is sort of what made the chair possible, the big picture of it. So das is a certain muskel rishon. Let's keep reading. A certain initial understanding of things, a general grasp. V'davar zeh nikra das, lefi shiyodeya osam. It's called das because you know about it. V'habina heim ha-muskalos shnios, shemotzi ha-adam min ha-muskalos harishonos. And Bina is what? Is the extraction of that which can be inferred and understood from the Muskel Rishon. So I have a general idea. And then Bina, so to speak, is the things that emerge from that initial idea. What we would call the Muskel Sheni. Muskel Rishon, first glance. Muskel Sheni, a second glance, a second understanding. Okay? So what does it mean in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, in Ein Das, Ein Bina? So the Pashup Shah would be, im ein das, if you don't have a basic understanding, then ein bina, you can't have a more developed understanding. How would you understand the first part of the Mishnah? Im ein bina, ein das. Im ein bina, if I'm not able to infer something more, then what was the point of my simple understanding, right? So the Mishnah is telling us, again, according to the Rivash, im ein bina, ein das, if you don't take it all the way to bina, then what was the point of your superficial understanding? And im ein das, ein bina. But if you don't have the initial understanding, you can't skip steps. You can't jump to a higher level understanding. Says the Maharal, I disagree. I don't think that's the correct translation of das. My understanding is more chachma, bina, das. And he quotes a pasuk in the Chumash to prove his point. The Maharal says, I disagree, I don't think that's correct. Aval defarish, he says where it's bolded. Aval defarish hadas muskelis rishonos davar ze'ein nira b'shem ofen. I disagree with the Rivash. I don't think that das is the beginning, is the muskel rishon, is the most obvious superficial understanding of things. Because the pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa about Bezalel, look carefully, Va'amaleo so ruach elokim b'chachma uvesvuna uvedas. I am going to fill Bezalel with the wisdom of chachma, tvuna, bina, and das. Sounds like there's a progression here. Not only will he have chachma, he'll be able to take it up the level to bina, all the way to das. Uma mala yesh b'muskalos harishonos shenimtzam etzel kol adam v'adam. So what's the big chap? Right? Again, according to the Rivash, the pasuk says that Bezalel will have wisdom, and he'll be able to understand things deeply, and he'll also have a basic understanding. That's a kind of a downer, you know? After you told me he's such a genius, you tell me he has a basic understanding of things. So Maral says, no, there must be, we're not learning it right. There has to be a progression here. Das must be a higher level than Bina. But however, I want to defend the Rivash based on something I once heard from Rav Yochanan Zweig. Heard of Rav Zweig? Anyone hear of Rav Zweig? Rav Zweig, Rav Yochanan Zweig thought you could explain as follows. How do you explain this Maral? How do you explain the Rivash? What does it mean when the Torah says, according to the Rivash, that Bezalel was a genius and he had simple understanding? Because that's how we're learning it, according to it, right? He was able to infer things so deeply, but he also understood things simply. What's the maila in that? So Rav Yochanan Zweig explained, Rav Yochanan Zweig Shlita explained, sometimes people, when they're really big geniuses, when they're really smart, they forget how to just be normal. They forget the simple understanding of things. They become such geniuses in their talents or their wisdom that they forget. They're so deeply immersed in the extreme, in the esoteric, in the mystical, they forget how to be normal. And that's what we're learning. Rabbi Nachman's pushing back against that today, saying you don't need to, that's not good. If you're going to become a deep Jew, you're going to become a person of tvuna, of deep understanding, you still need das. You still need to be able to what? To be wholesome and simple. To be able to relate to what normal people can relate to. Because if you become a tzaddik who lives on a mountaintop that no one can relate to, then what are you doing for Klal Yisrael? It doesn't help anyone. Right. And it may not be appropriate for you either. So that's how Rav Zweig explained the opinion of the Rivash. To be able to be a big person and to also just be a normal person, again, that's the madriga of the tzaddikim. By me, that's the madriga of the tzaddikim. In the Sefer of Aleihu Lo Yibol, which is teachings and Hanhagos of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So he was asked one time, there was a child, Rachmana Litzlan, who fell out a window and got badly injured. So the parents were very broken up over it, and they said, Rebbe, what should we do? They came to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. They said, what should we do as a tikkun for this terrible thing? How should we metakin? Right? Spiritually, what should we do? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, metakin? You want to be metakin? Put bars on your window. Kids don't fall out the window. Another time, someone was holding a hot drink and holding a child at the same time, and they spilled some of their hot drink on the kid, and the child got burnt. And the father was all bent out of shape. He said, oh, what should I do? Tshuva, what should I do for a tikkun? He says, I'll give you a tikkun. Don't drink hot liquids when you're holding a baby. That's your tikkun. Don't be stupid. Be reasonable. Be a reasonable person. That's the tikkun. Be normal. Right? A person has to be able to be elevated and be normal at the same time. And if not, you're living a life of hefkeres. A person starts to live a life of hefkeres. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, I once read such a beautiful story about Rav Nosson Tzvi. You have to hear this story. Rav Nosson Tzvi, someone gave a hesped at the Yeshiva Gadol of Tinak a number of years ago. And he started telling this story about how a Talmud of Rav Nosson Tzvi had passed away, a father with some young children, living in America. And Rav Nosson Tzvi, because of his close connection to this Talmud, felt that he has to do something for the children who didn't have a father figure in their life. And he said that he told the children, I want to be like a father figure to you. And Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, a yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva, had plenty of other things that he had to attend to. Right? But he felt a particular connection to this father. He was a distinguished Talmud Chacham. Had a strong shaykhus for less than three. So he said to the kids, I want you, anything you need, I'm like your father, I'm like a father to you, anything that you need. And he would write them letters from Eretz Yisrael. When the older sons came to Eretz Yisrael, as they got to that age of learning, he helped them get into yeshivas and to find the right yeshiva, each one according to whatever it is that they needed. And he took tremendous care of this family. They would write him letters, he would write back. Even with his, difficult Parkinson's disease, he was able to always communicate with them, and he provided for them. And so the person who gave this, who was giving this, divrei zikaron about Rav Nosson Tzvi at the Yeshiva Gedolah of Tinek, was using this to show, look at what a sensitive person Rav Nosson Tzvi was. So someone comes over to the speaker, who was Rav Mordechai Grunwald, comes over to him afterwards and says, "I have to tell you the end of the story." Someone who was learning the Yeshiva Gedolah of Tinek. He said, "I have to tell you this story." He said, "What's the story?" He said, "My wife was the sister of those boys that you were mentioning in the story who came to Eretz Yisrael, and he took care of them. And she always felt a little bit weird about her relationship with Rav Nosson Tzvi. Because she felt like her brothers, they can connect to the Rosh Yeshiva because, they were B'nai Yeshiva. Right? They were all on that path. And they, it was like a more natural connection for them to Rav Nosson Tzvi. And she always felt a little bad that she felt weird about trying to be connected to Rav Nosson Tzvi. As the girl in the family, she felt weird about it. So this fellow says, one day she gets a letter in the mail. She gets a letter in the mail. It's from Rav Nosson Tzvi. Addressed to the girl. And she opens it up, and it's a hand-drawn picture of like a big heart. Rav Nosson Tzvi drew this big heart, colored it in. And he wrote this loving letter to this little girl. And she said it made her feel so good. The whole time she thought, Rav Nosson Tzvi, my father's a Talmud Chacham, and he wants my brothers to be Talmud Chachamim, but, I'm just the girl in the family, the Rosh Yeshiva doesn't have, space for, some random girl. And she said when she got that letter and she felt, that care and that sensitivity, this big, large, heart-shaped, cutout with a letter from the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva, she said it made her feel so good about herself, and it gave her such a boost of confidence. And this guy came up to the speaker afterwards. He said, I married that girl. This is my wife. That's why I'm telling you this story. And the way that the Rosh Yeshiva was able to be, on the one hand, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva, but to bring himself down to such a level, to feel the needs of a little orphaned girl. Right? He didn't just write her a letter. He drew a big heart to show that I care about you and I love you. And it's not just your brothers because I want them to be Gidolei Torah and to be Rosh Yeshiva one day. It's because I care about you as a fellow Jew. To be able to bring yourself to... How can a person be so big and so simple at the same time? But that's the madrig of the tzaddikim. To be able to live with a sense of complete control of the situation. There's nothing hefker. There's nothing extreme. It's all so beautifully and perfectly balanced. And that's what Zweig says. That was the godless of Bezalel, who is building all these very deep mystical things into the Mishkan. He had tvuna, but he also had das. He was able to bring it back to the Madrega of Das. Rav Pam, Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam, was one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Das. I read a story once from a rabbi in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, who had a personal connection to the Pams. And he wrote the following. Listen to this. Ready for this? It's going to blow your mind. My father-in-law studied in Rav Pam's Shir and Masifta Torah Das for several years back in the 1960s. When my wife's older sister became engaged in the 1990s, my in-laws took my future sister-in-law and my future brother-in-law to meet Rav and Rebbetzin Pam and receive their bracha and good wishes. What's the most vivid memory they all have of that evening? It was October 31st. In contrast to the many Jewish homes around the Palms who had turned off their lights to discourage trick-or-treaters, the Palms left their front lights on. Pam left his front lights on. While they all chatted with Rav Pam in the dining room, his Rebbetzin was in the kitchen working the hot air popcorn popper and preparing plastic baggies of popcorn to give out with a smile to all the local non-Jewish kids who knocked at the door. Rav Pam was giving out Halloween presents. They all left that night with numerous smiles, brachos, and best wishes from Rav Pam and his Rebbetzin, but what they all remember most is the powerful lesson the Palms taught them about interacting with their neighbors. The Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas is giving out his Rebbetzin. He didn't just buy a bag of chocolate and leave it at the doorstep so they don't throw eggs at his door. The Rebbetzin's in the kitchen with a popcorn maker, making little shalach manas for the trick-or-treaters. Isn't that a stira to being a Rosh Yeshiva? And the answer is no, because he was normal. Rav Pam was normal. And Rav Pam understood if there's non-Jewish kids in the neighborhood going around, right? So we have to show them that Jews are normal. Right? It's not a avodah zarah. We're not into Halloween. We're not also trick-or-treating. But that they should see the Rosh Hashiva as a warm, kind, thoughtful, normal person was a value that Rav Pam had. I don't know. I find that to be such an amazing story. Or the Maisa when the Baal Tani was learning with Rav Avram HaMalach, the son of the Maggid of Mezrich one time. And he was known as Avram HaMalach. He was beyond this world. And they were Ma'amish. They were learning the deepest things. And the Baal Tani said, I need to take a break. Baal Tani takes a break. He goes. He gets a bagel. He starts putting butter on his bagel. And Avram HaMalach's like, what? Like, we're in the middle of, like, the deepest, you know, sugyas of Kabbalah, and you're sitting there, like, smearing butter on a bagel. But the Baal Tani was trying to teach him, like, yeah, you have to be able to stop for lunch, even when you're, because that's part of being balanced. And that's why the Baal Tanya became much more the leader of Hasidus after the Maggid passed away than Rav Avram HaMalach. Because he was a Malach. He's a Mamasha, the highest of the high. But that's not the type of person who's going to be a leader for Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's finish this sheet just very quickly for 2 more minutes. The Gemara in Brachos says in source number 6 and in source number 7, the Gemara discusses that when Chana gave birth to her son, she davened that she should have a child who's Zera Anashim. Zera Anashim. What does it mean, Zera Anashim? My Zera Anashim, says the Gemara in Brachos. My Zera Anashim. The Gemara gives multiple answers. Rabbanan Amri, Zera Anashim, Zera Shemuvla Bein Anashim. A kid who fits in. I want my child to fit in. She didn't daven that he should be a Talmud Chacham. She didn't daven that he should have Ruach HaKodesh. She didn't daven that he should work in the Mishkan. She davened that what? My child should be normal. I want a normal child. Or how about the Gemara in Megillah in source number 7? It says that Esther was called Hadassah. You know why she was called Hadassah? Because she was like a Hadassah. What's more beautiful, an Esrog or the Hadassim? Everyone said, the Esrog is so beautiful. But the goddess of Esther, that what? She's like Hadassah. It says, Ben Azai, Esther lo arucha v'lo kitzara. She wasn't too tall. She wasn't too short. She was regular. She was beinonis ka Hadassah. Says the Marsha in source number 8, but that's a Maila. That's what Chana was davening for her son. Hu Maila b'ben Adam. It's a Maila to be normal. It's a Maila to be normal, to be physically normal. Not too tall, not too short. That was the mother. That was the wish of a Jewish mother. They should be able to fit in. You should be able to be normal. You know why? Because you'll be a healthier spiritual Jew, right? If you can be a healthy physical Jew, you can just be regular. If you don't have any extreme characteristics to yourself, so there's a better chance that what they'll be able to serve Hashem better, because Hashem is served best not through extremism, through Echad Darcheinam. Okay, the final source for today. And again, thank you for all your comments. I'm sorry I got a little late. But let's just end with one of my favorite stories. Really one of my favorite stories. In Rav Zevin Sipurei Chasidim, Parshas Mishpatim, he tells a great story. Rav Weinberger told this story. Maybe some of you will remember this story. B'shas arichas ha-shulchan shel shalash shudis, etzel tzadik Rav Chaim mitzanz. One time, Rav Chaim Sanzer was sitting by the tish, by the big table for shalash shudis. The practice was that Tzaddik would say some Torah, and everyone would sit there around the darkened table at Shalash Shudas, and it would be a silent, meditative moment, people trying to be davuk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, watching the Tzaddik as he'd close his eyes at Shalash Shudas, sitting in the darkened room at the end of Shabbos, Rabbah the Rabbin, the Tzaddik said Torah, and then he would enter into a state of Dveikus, unbelievable. Dimas Kodesh Haisha Shoreris Bebeso. There was this quiet holiness enveloped the room. V'cholam Esubim Hayushokim Afheim Yachad and Rabban Bedvekas Atzuma. And everyone would try to join with the Rebbe in their own small way. That tative moment. That was Shalash Shudas by Rav Chaim Sanzer, by the Divrei Chaim. Vayushruyim Be'eim of Afachad, and there was an intensity, right? Not an awkward, a heavy, intense silence that filled the room. Hayat Sadik Misor Midvekuso, Zimer Esesbiroth. After a while, Rav Chaim Sanzer would look up. He'd detach himself from that state of Dvekus Bashem. He would begin to sing the Zmiros of Shalash Shudas. V'karagil Hayim Zamer Kel Mistater. And he would sing, amongst other things, I imagine, Kel Mistater, a god of concealment, which goes through all the 10 Sviros. Very deep Shalash Shudas tune. And One time, as Reb Chaim Sanzer was saying Kelmas Stater, traveling through all of the Sviros, as Kelmas Stater goes through all the different realms, he's mamish flying in the Olamos, as he's saying this Nigun in the state of Dveikus, all of a sudden, Takvo Shiul Chazak. You know what that means? He started coughing very intensely. All of a sudden, he had a bad cough. Hu lo hifsik v'himshech lezamer. He didn't stop singing. He continued to sing. Afal pisha shiul holach v'gavur v'lo hirpa mimenu. He kept coughing. It was getting short. He couldn't clear his throat. He kept coughing and coughing and coughing. So his son Rav Baruch got up. Kam b'no harevi Rav Baruch. Holach v'hevi kos tei v'hegish lo. So his son got up and he brought him a cup of tea. Right? Tati, clear your throat. Coughing like crazy. So he can save himself from this coughing attack. The tzaddik said, tea? In the middle of Kel Mestater, I'm going to drink tea? What are you thinking? What a person's holding in the world called Atzilus, which is the highest of the four worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. When a person's in the world of Atzilus means nearness, that's as close as you can get to Kutcha Brichu. There's no tea drinking in Atzilus. So Baruch Gerlitzer, the son of the Divrei Chaim, who is known for his very sharp and witty comments, Amr lo b'no, aval ba'olim Atzilus abba, af ein mishtalim. So he says, Batati, there's also no coughing in Atzilus. There's no coughing in Atzilus. If you're really in Atzilus, you wouldn't be coughing the way you're coughing. Drink your tea. You'll feel better. Right? Nope. Nitzachtoni b'ni heyeshiv tzadik v'shasa satay. All right, you win. And he drank the tea. Right? Baruch Gerlitzer was saying it. Not stam to say that to the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim tells you, I'm holding by Atzilus. Don't bother me with drinking tea. Right? But his son said, come on, let's be honest. If you're really in Atzilus, if you're really so davak to Hashem, right, then you'd be overpowering your body to such a degree that you wouldn't be coughing. If you're coughing, that means you're still a human being. And if you're a human being and your throat hurts, what should you do? Just drink a cup of tea. So that's what Rabbi Nachman meant. Don't be hefker. You don't have to be extreme to be from. Again, maybe this is a better piece of Torah to learn when you're like still in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Maybe now it's the opposite. Maybe we need to get back to being a little bit more passionate, a little less parv in our avodas Hashem. Right? But it's really important to realize there's a way to make it in this world as an ish kasher, as a good erlich yid. I don't use that derogatory term that people like to use. He's like a balabas. Balabas? A balabas who learns daf yomi every day, finishes shas in 7 years if he can be a good balabas. Nothing wrong with being a good balabas. Who davens with a minion 3 times a day, who keeps kosher, who keeps Shabbos, who follows halacha, who's honest in his business. You don't have to do anything extreme. It doesn't have to be extreme in the way that you talk, it has to be extreme in the way that you dress, it has to be extreme in the way that you act. If a person is just committed, extremely committed to Derachei Darchei Noam, then a person could be an Er L'Chayit, and by Rabbi Nachman, that's mamish one of the highest measures. All right? Okay.